ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 वर्ष टेक्स्ट नंबर 11. श्री भगवान उवाच नैकान्तिनो मे मयि जत्व इहाशिष आशस्ति मृत्य च ये भवद्विधम् तथापि मन्वन्तरम् इतत् अत्र दैत्येश्वरम् अनुभुक्ष्व अभोगन् श्रीभगवान् उवाच नैकान्तिनो मे मयि जत्व इयाशिष आशस्ते अमृत्य च ये भवद्विधम् तथापि मन्वन्तरम् एतद् अत्र दैतेश्वरनम् अनुभुक्ष्व भोगान्.
I'm sorry. All material opulences. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king, until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu." Purport. One Manu lives for a duration of time calculated to be an aggregate of 71 yuga cycles, each of which equals 430000 years. Although atheistic men like to enjoy material opulences and they endeavor with great energy to build residences, roads, cities and factories, unfortunately, they cannot live more than 80, 90 or at the most 100 years. Although the materialistic exerts such energy to create a kingdom of hallucinations, he is unable to enjoy it for more than a few years. However, because Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, the Lord allowed him to enjoy material opulence as a king of the materialists. Prahlad Maharaj had taken birth in the family of Hiranyakasipu, who was the topmost materialist, and since Prahlad was the bona fide heir to his father, the Supreme Lord allowed him to enjoy the kingdom created by his father for so many years that no materialist could calculate them. The devotee does not have to desire material opulences, but if he is a pure devotee, there is ample opportunity for him to enjoy material happiness also, without personal endeavor. Therefore, everyone is advised to take to devotional service under these circumstances. If one desires material opulence, he can also become a pure devotee and desire will be fulfilled. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein for the last 10 verses, Prahlad Maharaj has spoken the most revealing philosophy for all of us, wherein he speaks about not desiring anything in return from the Lord when the Lord was ready to give him anything that he wanted, but he simply wanted to continue to remain his devotee. And in fact, he told the Lord that I don't want to be a businessman, I don't want to be a vanik, I don't want to have anything in exchange. The most profound philosophy, the most wonderful exhibition of unmotivated devotional service. Ahaituki apratiyata. So herein we see ahaituki in action. Rupa Goswami mentions this, but as sadhakas we need to see some examples of what is ahaituki really mean. And we see in this case of Prahlad Maharaj to what extent he doesn't want anything in return for all the things that he has gone through. Every day, practically, of his life for 5 years. I think right from the age of 3 or 4, or maybe for whatever years he was in school. For every single day was a torture for him. Every single day. Every minute was a torture for him. And at last, the torture has got over. And he tolerated torture for the pleasure of the Lord, for the worship of the Lord. And the Lord comes face to face to him and he said, Prahlad, I am too happy with you. Please ask. And Prahlad says, well, I didn't do anything for you. What did I do? You know, how can I ask anything from you? You know, this is just natural. Something that I did was just natural. Something that I was supposed to do. That was the high level of devotion that Prahlad had. And after hearing this wonderful exhibition of unmotivated devotional service, the Lord speaks. This is the first line after the Lord is hearing, and I'm sure the Lord must be amazed also that how is this devotee of mine that he doesn't want anything in return. And the Lord says, my dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires anything, any kinds of material opulences. He said, Narsingadev is speaking this. And let us imagine Narsingadev is speaking this. The Supreme Personality of God, Narsingadev. He's a ferocious, powerful person. Now, of course, he's mellowed down. He's in his Swamya form. Just so happy to see Prahlad. And he's saying, the devotees like you, Prahlad, don't expect any material opulence. This is the Lord's opinion. Like we have so many opinions in our life. But what is the Lord's opinion about a devotee? The opinion that really counts for all of us. Right? We say that what really counts for us is the opinion of the people who really matter to us. There are so many people who give opinions. But what really counts is people who really matter. The devotees, the senior devotees, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So what is the opinion of the Lord, Narsingadev, about his devotee? There's my devotee, devotees like you, Prahlad, do not expect any type of material opulences. And we are supposed to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad is one of the 12 Mahajans. They are supposed to follow in his footsteps. This Bhagavad class that Prabhupada has instituted in his society is so that we can hear every day, give our oral reception and understand from the characters of these pure devotees that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam on how we can imbibe that mood in our own spiritual life. So following his footsteps, we as devotees also are not supposed to enjoy any material opulence. And what really struck me like a thunderbolt, like a lightning, when I was reading this purport, is Srila Prabhupada's tremendous, magnificent description, a phrase which is used for material world, which Prabhupada, I scanned through his books, through the folio, he has not used anywhere. It is only in this purport that he has used. He calls the material world the kingdom of hallucination. Fantastic. Just think about it. What can be a better description of this material world than to call it the kingdom of hallucination? It is a kingdom. And who is ruling it? And who are the people getting ruled? The hallucinator and the hallucinated. So, in the recent class of Radhanath Maharaj that he gave, he mentioned an important line, a phrase. He said that we as devotees, if we want to get rid of the desire for sense gratification, then we should scientifically understand the nature of Maya. He said that we should very scientifically understand it. What she is, what she is not, what she can do and everything. So I was wanting to really go deeper into this aspect of hallucination. Prabhupada written, Kingdom of Hallucination. What does hallucination really mean? We know. But I said I went into some psychology books to understand scientifically. And I'll present to you something which I came across. What is the definition of hallucination? A profound distortion. A profound distortion in a person's perception of reality. Please hear, every word is very significant. A profound distortion, not just a distortion, a profound distortion in a person's perception of reality, typically accompanied by a powerful sense of reality. Means he feels something is very, very real, and he feels powerful sense of reality, but it's actually a profound distortion of the person's perception of reality. Means it doesn't really exist. That's hallucination. And we can go further. Hallucination can happen through all the five senses. The medical books, you know, they tell us different types of hallucinations. One type of hallucination is auditory hallucination. The false perception of sound, music, noises or voices. Hearing voices when there is no auditory stimulus is the most common type of auditory hallucination in the mental disorder. A voice may be heard either inside or outside one's head and is generally considered most severe when coming from outside the head. Just imagine this. Of course, you all must be feeling hallucinated reading this. But what it means, my dear friends, is that you are hearing a voice within you, or sometimes without you, which doesn't really exist. 4 years back, I was at the bookstall on the December marathon. And of course, you must have read this story. And I was distributing books at Malad. And one person, a tough-looking guy with beard, not fully grown, but patchy beard, he came to me and he said that, "Kya bech raha hai?" What I was selling. I said, "Bhagavad Gita, please." Then he revealed in my talks, he said that I have been ordained by some voice that I'm about to kill a person. I said, "My God." And from his sleeves, he put his sleeves up. And there was something what is called Gupti. You know what is Gupti? I first time I heard. I know Gupta, but I don't know what is Gupti. And the Gupti was Gupt in his. And he removed. I said, "My God." I said, "You be away from me." I said, then I said, not even looking at him, "Gita, Gita, Gita." I said, "I don't want to look at this person because," I said, "it's too scary." And then he said, "I have been told by some voice that I should kill this person." And then after half an hour, he comes again. I said, "My God." After half an hour, he has done his work. And why is he coming here now? This is a real story. He said that I was walking. He told me, of course, how I better believe him. It's just for my own good. And I got realization. So we believe him. He said, "I went, but while I was walking," he said, "your voice was speaking to me after the other voice. Gita, 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 Gita." And then I came back and I bought this Gita. He bought the Gita. I said, "You want it free? You take it free. Go away." I don't want to deal with you. But he paid the money. And he took the Gita. So when I came across this definition of auditory hallucination, you know, this man was hallucinated, maybe. There was some voice speaking. And sometimes, as the further explains, there's not one voice, there are many voices speaking. "Go here. Don't go here. Go there. Don't go there. Do this." These voices and these people who are hallucinating, they go mad. they rip all their hair out. They say, what do I do? They go crazy. And sometimes the voice, it is explained in the hallucination, speaks. Somebody speaking about you. You are a rascal. How cheater you are. And this voice, somebody else from without speaks to you. This is auditory hallucinations. And I said, this is too much. And then I went on to read further. And there's what is called gustatory hallucination. A false perception of taste. This hallucination of taste. A person experiences all obnoxious taste in his mouth, which is not there. He's eating rasgulla, but he tastes like it is metal. It's like iron. He's eating a rasgulla. It's just so nice, but he tastes. And he throws it out. He can't eat because anything he eats, he tastes metal. He's hallucinated. The reality is there's a rasgulla in his mouth, but he's hallucinated and he thinks there's some metal taste. Or as explained, sometimes he tastes his own stool. None of us know what is the taste of stool, but he tastes that person thing. He spits it out. And what he spits is some wonderful thing which is tasting so nice. Then what is called olfactory hallucination. A false perception of odor or smell. Nose. Wherever he goes, he experiences smell of smelling decaying fish, dead bodies, burning rubber. You know, you can put a whole liter of perfume over him. Maybe dump him with a perfume. But he smells. He's so hallucinated. The reality is he's fragrant. You can put a rose essence over him. But what he smells is simply dead fish, burning rubber. And sometimes he smells this. And sometimes he feels this smell is coming from him. And these people, as explained, they keep on changing their clothes. Because they say this smell is so dirty. Puppy smell. Then they throw it again. They put another thing and keeps on smelling. That's how they are crazy. And then comes somatic or tactical hallucination. A false perception or sensation of touch or something happening in or on the body. A person feels there's an insect walking over him. He throws it and there's nothing there. And something, you know, on his stomach he feels something. And he feels, but there's nothing there. That he feels that somebody is pointing the knife on his stomach, but there's nothing there. Hallucination. And there is visual hallucination, a false perception of sight, a content of hallucination, maybe anything. A person can look like a human figure coming in front of him, his eyes, you see something, human figure. Or sometimes he says a lion and a man. It's explained in the medical book. Sometimes he sees a half man and half lion. That's auspicious, right? To see nothing there. But this is hallucination. He must be seeing in a most distorted form. So this is what is hallucination. I wanted to really go deep and understand what is that. And Prabhupada calls this a kingdom of hallucination. This is what hallucination is all about. Kamsa was experiencing this. When Krishna... So we have an example not only in the recent day, but Kamsa, he was experiencing all these hallucinations. He was looking in the mirror and he said, hey, where's my head? And the head is there, but he doesn't see the head in the mirror. What a funny thing. Can you imagine how nuts you can go just by this hallucination? You can go crazy. So this is what is hallucination all about. And how true it is, I was thinking that after reading this graphic description of hallucination, I was thinking that how true it is. I was thinking that Krishna's pastimes are absolute reality. The pastime of Krishna with his covered boys, with gopis in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, in Mathura, and all his pastimes are absolute reality. But at the most, what is the pastime considered to be people nowadays? People are hallucinated. And what is reality? What is the topmost reality of the spiritual world, the person of Krishna, is considered to be nothing but mythology or bedtime stories for children. How the reality is considered to be simply like mythology. A deity of the Lord, Sakshat Brajendra Nandana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. प्रतिमा नाही, तुम्ही साक्षात व्रजेंद्र नंदन. द डीटी इज कन्सिडर्ड टू बी जस्ट अ आयडल. रियालिटी इज सीन एज समथिंग सो ऑर्डिनरी. कृष्णस अबोर्ड, अवर रियल होम वेर वी ऑल रियली बिलोंग टू, इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी नॉन एक्जिस्टेंट और एट द मोस्ट इमेजिनेशन, फैंटास्मगोरिया. That oh, it sounds nice. I showed some pictures, you know, which is there in our Krishna art book, to some person many years back in my college. I was showing the picture, and this person was really appreciating. It's a beautiful, the Jamuna, the peacocks, the monkeys, and Krishna in different forms, either with the cows or with the gopis. And this person was really appreciating. I said, wow, this guy is really appreciating. And then at the end he said, this is wonderful imagination. The person who has drawn has really imagined very nicely. I said, what? This is the window to spiritual world. The artists were empowered by Prabhupada to really peep into the spiritual world and see what's happening and then draw there. And this person, what he's saying, it is wonderful imagination. What is this? Hallucination. To a complete misunderstanding of reality, a profound distortion. To see the Supreme Lord as idol, to consider the pastime of the Lord as mythological stories, is what? It's complete distortion of our understanding of the Lord. So, we must really understand that Maya is the cause of all this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that song comes to my mind. What is this? He says that Kishera samsara yehi chhaya baji pray, yate mamata kori bhrita dine jai. That nice word. This is a unique description, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think first time we all heard it was really catched our attention. He said, what kind of world is this anyway? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, it seems to me just like a magic lantern show that I saw at a carnival, wherein all so many shadows and optical illusions dance magically before my eyes. I feel great attachment and identification with such a world, and thus day after day passes by fruitlessly without any purpose whatsoever. What is this world? It is nothing but a magic lantern show. Maya is showing all lantern shows, and he sees with the optical illusions created, hallucinations created, and we feel very nice about the whole thing. In another song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that I started liking this material world is a good place, right? What is the samsara lagilo bhalo, samsara lagilo bhalo. He says that after I came out, I realized in the mother's womb I was tormented. I said, this is a horrible place. He said, Krishna, I promised you that I will worship you, but when I came out, I got the love of my relatives. And all the hugs and all the nice clothes and everything so nice. And then I said, actually this material world is a nice place. So a moment we come to the material world, we are hallucinated. We start finding something which is such a horrible place to be a very nice place. And what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur write in the end in this bhajan? He said, therefore I ask anyone who has any sharp intelligence, please give up all these temporary illusions presented by Maya and kindly search after the means to get pure devotion to Lord Krishna, for this is the only real, tangible, eternal truth. What are the adjectives used? For this is the only real, eternal, tangible truth. Magnificent. So when there is truth, there cannot be hallucination. Hallucination means something which is not Maya. When there's something truth, there cannot be hallucination. And how do we get hallucinated? Like we know, when Prabhupada was spreading his movement in the the mid 60s and the late 60s and the early 70s, many people who joined, they were hallucinated by drugs, LSD and other things. Which they felt something so nice, and they would go on astral, what is it, astral walks, and you know, they would feel so nice. That is a nice place. They would get wonderful thoughts about things and everything like that. So there's drugs. When we are drugged, then we hallucinated. So Maya is that drug peddler, that very dangerous person who introduces us to drugs. In my college, when I was in an infamous college, National College in Bandra, and I used to see these people. How can they be human beings also? Such sad people. They would come in classes and they would pass on packets to people in a very, very discreet way. And people would pass on Lakshmi, money to them, discreet way. And then they would, in the corner of the libraries, in the bathrooms, and they would find people doing all sorts of things. And I said, people are unfortunate, but the worst person is this drug peddler, that he's making things so easily available. Here you are, take this. Here you are, take this. Here you are, take this. And Maya is that drug peddler. She gives us everything that we want so that we can remain hallucinated. Even if when we see the graphic, pictorial view of the material world in these terrorist attacks, there was certain uncensored photographs which are shown in one of the newspapers, on the one of the websites of a newspaper. And when is anything uncensored, we like to see. Let me see it. So I just saw the photographs, and it was, you know, this was a photograph of people who were unfortunately murdered in this Oberoi Hotel. The food table is laid there. The best of food is laid there, is right there. The best of bowls, everything is there. And these people are brutally lying, murdered, bleeding from their nose and practically from all their 9 gates, bleeding profusely, wearing beautiful shoes. We can see these people. They are the richest people in Bombay, sitting there, brutally murdered. The food is still there, but they are murdered brutally. But still, after 1 week, when the stock market went up by 500 points, people became very happy. Hey, market is going up. Very good. Things are getting better. In one of the lectures by one of the sannyasis here, recent lectures, he said that we in the material world will take shelter of the thought that this material suffering is going to end very soon. Right? We are suffering, but we all feel that it's going to end very soon. So we feel very happy about it. And when somebody assures us it's going to end very soon, that's a great happiness. So this is the sad thing in the material world, that people see death all around. And actually speaking, I was coming in the train yesterday, I was speaking to one devotee right from Malad to Dadar. And there was one person in front, he was constantly hearing us. And the moment this devotee got down at Dadar, from Dadar to Grand Road, this person talking to me. And he said that, I was hearing you all talking about happiness, and this material world is such a dirty place. So I believe you people. I believe what you are saying. But what do you do? Is there any alternative? Yes, I believe you. I agree. And I was thinking over this matter that yes, this is a crazy place, but what is the alternative? And then I realized in my mind that devotees are the most fortunate people. We know this material world is a crazy place. At the same time, we know the alternative, where to go. If we tell somebody to get out of some place, we have to tell him where to get in. We just can't say get out. But where do I get in? I need to get in somewhere. Devotees know where to get in. Devotees have the higher consciousness, the spiritual world. When we all in Vrindavan Yatra, hearing the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, which this unfortunate materialist considered to be imagination or bedtime stories. But when we were hearing those stories in the Pandal of Fogla Ashram and Giri Govardhan, we were completely in reality. That was the reality. the Krishna's pastimes was reality, and that was giving us the real nourishment to the soul. At that time, everything in the material world was really going bad. Financial conditions and everything was going bad. But in Vrindavan was the real reality. So that is the real reality. I was thinking about this truth. That what is the real truth? Because if you want to not be hallucinated, then we have to know the truth. So, this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I mean Nimai Pandit, on his last hours with his wife Vishnupriya, on just the night before he left, or the night when he left for taking sannyas, they had a conversation. And let's think deeply. What was happening? It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the guise of a devotee, in the guise of a husband, taking sannyas at the age of 26, 24. And his wife was 13 years old at that time, 14 years old. And she was going to be a widow for the rest of her life. And this was the last conversation a loving husband, who is the Lord himself, was having with his wife, who is going to be a widow for the rest of his life. And what substance would this person speak to his wife has to be a very important thing. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? He said, "My dear Vishnupriya, there are only two truths in this material, in this world. Krishna and the Vaishnavas." Right? What he said, these two things, right? There are two truths. Krishna and the Vaishnava. There's nothing else that is important. Nothing else really is of any meaning. The Krishna and the Vaishnavas are the only two truths. So let us understand that Krishna is the only truth. Everything emanating from Krishna is the only truth. And everything else, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Ara Shakala Bhritya, that everything else is simply null and void. It is shunya. It doesn't have any meaning. So if we really want to be happy in this material world, which we all want to be, and because we cannot be happy because we are trying to be in a hallucinated condition. We explained just a few minutes back what hallucination is. Can we be happy when we are hallucinated? We cannot be happy. But the only way we can be happy, we are all trying to be happy with Krishna's, with getting some wealth. But as we understand that only way we can be happy is when we see Krishna's wealth. We are trying to be very happy with our beauty, but only way we can be happy is when we see Krishna's beauty, because Krishna's wealth, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's fame, and all the other opulences of Krishna are going to be eternal, and ours is going to end. So we can be happy when we have it, but when it is gone, we will be completely depressed. But if we want to really be happy, we should be happy with Krishna's wealth, Krishna's beauty, because that is never going to end. So we can always be happy, and that's the real truth. That's the real truth. So that's the real way to be out of this kingdom of hallucination. And you know, Prabhupada writes in this purport that when one becomes a devotee, then he is immune to this kingdom of hallucination, provided he is a proper devotee. I was thinking that this hallucination or this packets of Maya, which she gives drugs, doesn't end when you become a devotee. She'll not say, "Oh, you are a devotee now. I can't approach you now." She will devise a very unique drug, a powerful drug that will hallucinate devotees also. By puja and pratishta, the drug of puja and drug of pratishta. Puja and pratishta makes us feel high, right? We say stay high forever. Puja means we feel very high. So I'm being worshipped. And pratishta, we feel very high. In this material world, nobody really bothers, I'm talking about nowadays, to offer obeisances to anybody. If you go to even a marriage, none of you have luckily gone, very happy. But But if you go to any karmi marriages, you know, people, you know, and people are getting married, you know, they don't even bend till to touch the feet. You know, nowadays just you have seen that, those who have, you know, there's this little bend. And that's all. Because nobody, who wants to bend to anybody nowadays? What's the use of bending to this old people? Nobody bends. Who offers you garlands in this mud? Like, you know, we had one guest many years back of the hospital. He was not a devotee. And we are devotees, so we are trained to receive everybody in the devotee style. So we put him a garland. And he said, oh! He said, this is the first time in my life. He was a big man, actually. This is the first time somebody put a garland on me. First time. And he said, I will keep this till it survives. This might be the only garland I have in my life. And then I was thinking, in our devotee circles, when we become devotees, 5 years old devotee, we start getting obeisances. Not only slight bends, but obeisances. When we enter a room, people offer obeisances to us. And, you know, we start getting garlands. And we start sitting on this high seat. This is all nothing but the packets of Maya for hallucination. Yes, here you are. Garland. And then you, very nice. And then you get hallucinated. And then you start thinking, oh, I am a nice person. And then you feel, oh, I am a great devotee. And then then you say, hey, why are you not offering your business? Offer. In your hallucinated condition. Isn't it hallucination? When we think we are anything else than a servant of Krishna, we are hallucinated. Right? It's a fact. That's the reality. If we think anything else, we are hallucinated. When we think us to be anything but a transparent via media of our spiritual master, a representative of a spiritual master, if we think anything else than that, we are, as a matter of fact, keep it clear in your brains, hallucinated condition. Whether you know it or not. And the fact is, you will not know because you are hallucinated. Somebody has to tell you, my dear friend, you are hallucinated. That's the danger of devotees. This hallucination is not just for karmis, it's for us more. Because there's so much scope of getting hallucinated here. I was speaking to Govind Prabhu one time and he was speaking about one devotee. And I said, Prabhu, that devotee is left. I said, Prabhu, the devotee must have gone to Golok Vrindavan. I said, it is not so easy to go to Golok Vrindavan. And it got struck. And we think that Golok Vrindavan is just a neighborhood. It's a jump and Golok Vrindavan. But it's not that easy. It is tough. And Golok Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't want hallucinated people. He doesn't want these crazy people here. He said, get out. Get normal and then come here. He doesn't want people. He wants people to be actually hallucinated by yoga maya. And that's also hallucination. Right? Hallucination is always there. Yashoda Maya is hallucinated. The coward boy is hallucinated because they say, Krishna, you are ordinary person. How can you kill Agasur? You know, you are not a person. It's very special. Hallucinated. But that's what Krishna has put us in. That is Krishna's packet. Krishna is the packet giver. But here it is Maya who is giving us the packet. So we can have the kingdom of hallucination in our own mind as devotees also. This material world is not only the kingdom of hallucination. The kingdom of hallucination can be ourselves and it could be a whole community of devotees who are considering each other to be great people. And in that kingdom, you are great and I'm your follower. So he's the kingdom, he's the king of the hallucination kingdom and we are all his followers. We are all hallucinated people. So we all have to be very, very on guard. Scientifically understand how Maya works. And the only way to remain high forever is to have the lowest of spirits forever. To always remain low as humble people, then we can remain high forever. Remain high, highly hallucinated. I mean, high in hallucination for Krishna. And Prabhupada this makes a very unique point, one more point here, that even if a devotee enjoys material opulence, he is safe. There's Prahlad, he said, Narasimha said, Prahlad, you enjoy material opulence, become the king of all these materialists. Can you imagine Prahlad's situation? You know, can you understand? He is going to become the king of all these materialists who were actually followers of Hiranyakashipu. And for how many years? For whatever I said, 4300000 years. So many years he has to be king of these crazy people. Krishna will protect the devotee, even if there's a temporarily fall down. And what came to my mind was a beautiful story of Jamunacharya. What a magnificent story it is. Jamuna, when he was a small boy, he was a menial servant of his guru. And then, to cut the story short, he had a debate with Kolahal. And the king said that if you win, I give half the kingdom. And he won. Amazingly, he won by the three powerful propositions that he kept. And Kolahal was defeated. And Jamunacharya, a small boy, a tiny boy, was sitting on the throne. Half the kingdom was his. And he got material opulence. He was a menial servant. Got material opulence, became a king. And got completely distracted. Right? Completely distracted. But because Krishna is our ever well-wisher, the spiritual master is our ever well-wisher. What is his father's name? Ram Mishra. And he sent... Natamuni sent Ram Mishra. Natamuni, he was saying that Jamuna was such a sweet devotee. He sent Ram Mishra. And in a very wonderful way, why? Through Sabji. Through this particular type of Turvalai. Turvalai. Gaurang Prabhu, you should feed us sometime. Turvalai. Turvalai, I don't know what it means, but it must be a very ecstatic thing. Turvalai. Right? Sounds so good. Turvalai. So he fed him Turvalai. He must have cooked with such intense devotion, the devotion the way Radha Vallabh has for cooking. How intense Radha Vallabh Prabhu cooks. Really, it's just it's amazing cook. Very dear friend of mine. The way he must have cooked, too, this king was so materialistic in his thinking. He said, who is cooking? And then he stopped. He stopped at the right time. And then he said, where is that Turuvalai? Why is not coming? And then, of course, then he came. And then Ram Mishra just again showed him the wonderful, the real truth, the wonderful, magnificent form of Ranganath. Beautiful form. And he went mad, Jamunacharya. The devotion just sprung up. His hallucination was all gone. I said, this is the real truth. So this is our great fortune as devotees. We are very fortunate. We should, as far as possible, not enjoy material opulence, as Prabhupada has written in this. I mean, as Narasimhadeva has spoken in this, that devotees like you, Prahlad, will never enjoy material opulence, would not want. But even if we have to, and sometimes we have to, and sometimes we want to also. Honestly, I can say for myself, I'm sorry, all of you are sadhus. None of you, you have given up all the prospects of making big money. But we all want to also. But Krishna will protect us, hopefully. Avashya Rakhibe Krishna. Krishna will always protect me. And what can be a better example of seeing people hallucinated? I was reading this verse, and I went to the Malar stall yesterday for some time. Because I was in the hallucination consciousness. Then I saw people, they come to the train station and they see a clock. And they start running. I said, what? Because I was seeing everybody from the hallucination point of view. I said, what happened? What did he see in the clock? He starts running. And, so these people are hallucinated. 8, 7 and you tell them to wait for the book. I said, forget it, book, train. I was announcing, once I know, I was trying to attract some attention. I said, what do I speak? These people are so much mad about trains. Then I started shouting, Bachpan bita khelo kud mein bhari jawani soya. Aya budapa. And then one old person was running and looked at me. Aya budapa ki soya kya paya? And he stopped. He said, dikhao, dikhao kya hai. So Prabhupada's books are the only light to help people to get away from hallucination. People are they are mad people. If you see on the stations, yeah, they look lost. You know, they're just they're eating vada pav and they're lost. You know, and sometimes this is their lunch. And the vada pav in the train, sitting on that, is the lunch they're eating. That's the lunch. You know, and they eat on the stalls, you know, on the railway stalls. And you know, they stand. They have their heavy bag. They're perspiring, and they have their ragda pav. They eat. And what do you say? This is my lunch. You are hallucinated, idiot. You know, you have no idea what what's happening to you. That's hallucination. So sad. And we all are saved from this material situation. We all would be eating vada pav. We still eat sometimes. but you know, I mean, we all would be doing that. You know, and just suffering the hallucination. Huh? Home. Yeah. Home. Very much home. And not jumbo, vada pav, anything like that. So Prabhupada's books are the lights, the truth to get people out of hallucination. When they read those books, they will get out of this hallucinating condition. It's an anti-hallucination drug. One book can bring a person out of complete hallucination. So let us really thank our great fortune. Srila Prabhupada is the king of the kingdom of God. You know, he's one of the messengers of Krishna who has got us out of this hallucinating condition and giving us the kingdom of God from the kingdom of hallucination. He has brought us to the kingdom of God. Let us profusely thank Prabhupada and let us show our gratefulness by continuing on this path and getting convinced that anything non-Krishna conscious is hallucination. And you know, let us really remain steadfast in the mission of Prabhupada and help other people. One of the lectures given by the leader from this temple, he spoke again and again, 18 times on that one day, on last Sunday, that let us bring people to the higher consciousness. This was after the terrorist attack. What we can do, we can't do anything much to the material world. It's a world of hallucination. But what we can do is bring people to a higher level of consciousness. Raise people's consciousness, as he said. And this is the missionary work that we all have on behalf of Prabhupada and on behalf of our spiritual master. So let us do this missionary work. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Sakhi Vrind ki. The spiritual world, the supreme reality ki.